we're going to deal with guilt, because I started seeing people's reactions that are based on guilt. And I also begin to see, and it's not just one or two people, it kind of came up all over the place. You know how God does that. If it comes up all over the place, he wants to deal with it. But what the Lord was showing me is, if you dealt with guilt in a certain way and you never recognized that that's what you did, then that guilt still stays there until you get rid of that demonic way that you handled it. And some of the ways that you could handle, well, let me read what guilt is first. I'm going to read it. I looked in one dictionary, and it said that guilt is knowing that you are violating the law, and that could be a moral law, that could be the rules in your family, that could be the laws of the country. And you know that you are wrong, and therefore you know that you deserve punishment. So the key to guilt is the knowing that you deserve punishment, and what you take on to not pay that punishment is your coping mechanisms that keep you bound to that guilt and feeling like you deserve punishment. Does that make sense? For example, overcompensating, spoiling a child. Let's say that you came out of a situation where you were verbally, maybe physically abused, and we're going to deal with that sometime during this conference, maybe tomorrow. But in that pattern and the generational curses and all those things, you find yourself, as you're an adult, screaming and yelling at your child, maybe to the point of physical abuse, maybe just verbal abuse because you know Christ. And what happens when you find yourself doing that because it's so horrendous to you, and now you all know, we'll get to this for those who haven't heard this yet. You know, if you judge that thing, it's going to come back at you. And so the things you've judged are going to come at you. Iniquity and generational curses are going to come at you. And so all of a sudden, you see yourself doing the thing you said you'd never do. You see yourself doing the thing you hated the most that was done to you. And what you might do, instead of dealing with that issue because you didn't know how to, or you didn't know Christ, so you really couldn't deal with it, you take on something to feel better about yourself and try to avoid the punishment, or you self-punish. But one of the things I could think of was be spoiling your child, letting your child run the show, not requiring your child to honor you. And of course, all these things are going to eventually lead, they're going to lead to codependent relationships that are out of balance. And so instead of the Holy Spirit being in charge, you're going to have a child in charge or a parent in charge. You're going to have anger in charge. You're going to have manipulation in charge. You're going to have guilt. You'll raise up a child potentially who does not obey, who does not listen, who is a law to themselves. And you'll wonder what happened, because you'll think, I gave them everything. But you gave them everything to hide your guilt. Therefore, you still have guilt, because it's hidden behind what you did to not feel guilty. I can already tell I'm preaching the right message tonight. Rather we get to any of the other things, maybe this will be a whole new teaching. This is a different conference. What's new? God knows what you guys need. I think all of us have struggled in areas where we failed. And it's in areas where you have failed, or you feel like you have failed, that it's very easy for the enemy to use someone to point out to you where you have failed. I think for kids, it could be not being that perfect child, or not making mom feel better when dad's left the picture, or whatever the scenario is. Okay, let me see. I'm going to look in this definition and see if this is anything different. It's basically talking about feeling like a criminal, the state of a moral agent which results from his commission of a crime or offense by act, consent, or neglect, knowing it to be a crime or violating of the law. To have a fault, to be found at fault. So here's another one, let's see. Having committed an offense or violated a law by an overt act or by negligence, and by that act or being negligent, being liable for punishment, not being innocent, wicked, feeling it makes you feel wicked, corrupt, sinful, liable, and deserving of punishment. If you don't deal with, okay, I'm going to read some scriptures to tell you. Do you know that if you do not know Jesus Christ, if Jesus Christ does not live in your heart, if you have not asked Jesus Christ to come in your heart to take away your sin, to take away the offenses that you've caused, do you realize you have no way to handle guilt? And you will medicate it, be a substance abuser, be a very codependent person, constantly be dealing and trying to make everything perfect, be a control freak, be a perfectionist. All of these things are things you take on to handle guilt. Now, to whichever extreme that you've bought into the cycle of the enemy, you can even take on spirits where you could have something that jumps ahead of you, jumps ahead of anybody trying to blame you for anything. The minute someone tries to talk with you to help you break through to truth, that sets off an alarm in you, and immediately you respond in a way to defend yourself, or in a way to take the guilt and just say, I am this bad, there's nothing I can do with it, it's over for me. Satan wants you to be really unteachable in this area. And when you do what I do, boy, do you get a good time with this. I've learned to try to be really careful how I word things, to usually have at least one other witness around to try to say it in a way. But let me tell you, I've learned with some people, there is such a feeling of condemnation and guilt that this is really, I'm going to bind this thing so you guys can hear this, all right? Father, we come before you right now in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and we bind up every coping mechanism to deal with guilt. We bind up every spirit of guilt right now, every spirit of condemnation. And devil, you will not cause these people to feel guilty while the anointing of God is here to set them free. They will be set free tonight in Jesus' name. So, Father, I thank you for angels to sit on people all over this place and their ears to be open to hear what the Spirit of God is saying and not what the spirit of the accuser is saying. And we close the mouth of the accuser right now in the name of Jesus so that the people who need to hear this can hear this and be completely changed tonight in Jesus' name. Now, how many have learned that when you really can't take it and you want to run the most, you need to learn to stay? And if you need then to get a prayer to bind up stuff, then raise your hand, jump up and down and say, you know what? Something, and it ain't me, wants me to run. Something is already telling me they're talking about me. Something's already saying, oh, they're going to make fun of me. Something's already saying they're... So one thing you need to do tonight to get free is start with this thing bound, thinking, what do I do? What did I do before Christ? And what is there anything that triggers a reaction in me? Okay, how do you know when a spirit's involved? Because you quit being led by the Spirit of God. If something happens and you cannot be led by the Spirit of God, guess what? There is somebody else on the throne of your emotions. Examples. You hang up on people when they're trying to talk with you. You run out the door as fast as you can go. You quickly begin to debate in your mind what to say back to defend yourself to where you can't even hear what's being said. You start listening to the accuser about how horrible you are. They're just saying you're bad. And you just sit there with the poor me. There's nothing I can do about it. I'll never get out of this. God, why did you make me like this? Okay. These coping mechanisms, which are demons, but coping mechanisms, people like that word better because they don't want to think that Christians could still have issues with demons. What this can do is instead of taking real areas where you failed, real areas where you've broken God's laws, real areas where you've sinned, real areas where you've really messed up, instead of taking those to the cross and being thankful for a Savior, you've got coping mechanisms that make you never deal with them and blame people. So you're going to keep carrying your past and you're going to carry your mistakes that you make now. Now let me tell you, God likes us to be broken. Brokenness means complete dependence upon God, completely crying out for mercy and realizing we need it and we have a God who will give it to us. God wants us to completely fall in his arms, boo-hoo, get it all out, let him heal us, make us whole, take all evil out, bring healing to every area, pat us on our heads and say, I love you. I knew you were going to do this. That's why I died for you. It's okay. You're being changed into my likeness. Now go and sin no more. This thing of guilt and the demons that you take in to live with yourself with the guilt, the accuser, the condemnation, the false judge, we have tapes on all this for people who are watching it on the webcast or getting this teaching. So I wish you'd go into all that, Will. Go to our website at beautyforashes.org, and there's over 140 series and some on every single one of these topics. But most of the people I'm talking to in here tonight have had a lot of that teaching. And so we're getting to a point of we probably should have talked about guilt a long time ago, but I guess for whatever reason, God wanted to unravel all these other things, and now we're going after guilt. Guilt is the, if you want to call it a spirit, guilt is the fruit of condemnation. Okay? Now, if you have guilt, Satan keeps you under condemnation, at least in certain areas, which means he's your judge. Okay, and we've talked about false judge. And tomorrow, I'm believing, especially for, we'll have some new people coming tomorrow, people who never heard the teaching, we're going to really deal with this whole false judge concept if we have time. Okay? Condemnation, the Bible says there is no condemnation in Christ Jesus. And I'm not going to look up all these scriptures. We have given out handouts that actually have these scriptures on them. So you can find those handouts, and maybe we'll try to mention them tomorrow for people who are getting this teaching. But the Bible says, and if you don't know how to do that, go to Get a Strong's, look up condemnation until you see the scriptures. There's no condemnation in Christ Jesus. Let's go there. Let's go Romans 8:1. First of all, in Romans 7, you see Paul talking about doing things he doesn't want to do and how his flesh keeps sinning and what a wretched man he is. I think the Paul in 7 is someone who realizes that without Christ, there's absolutely no answer for guilt. Okay, so when people don't know Christ, you need to know they're going to have coping mechanisms. I don't care who they are. I don't care how much money they have. I don't care how much they seem to have it together. You know, whatever false religions they've bought into. Without Christ, there is absolutely no answer for guilt. There is no answer for the heaviness and the feeling of failure and the feeling of condemnation and the feeling of hopelessness and how horrible you are. There is no answer for feeling like that. That's sincerely an answer without Christ. The reason that we all would go to hell if we would die without Christ has nothing to do with religion at all. It has to do with this issue of guilt. Guilty of breaking God's laws. Guilty of giving into sin separates us eternally from God and causes our spirit, when we die in our soul, to spend eternity being punished in hell. We need to really thank God for God. We need to be so thankful and never forget the power of the cross of Jesus Christ. He came. He was the Word. He was God himself. Everything that the Word of God is, everything that the soul of God contains, everything that Jesus has always been from the beginning of time came through the body of a woman. believe in the egg of a woman, the word, the seed of God came in flesh. The Bible says so in John, in 1 John and John, and many other places, and dwelt among us. And he came as a man in the sense of he came in a human body. So Jesus Christ, who's always been, who will always be, came and walked this earth just like us. But he didn't sin. So he never had to feel the weight of guilt. He never gave into his flesh. He never gave into temptation. He walked in the complete revelation of God and obeying God and being obedient to the Father and living and being led by the Spirit of God. He walked in flesh with all the temptation that we have, but he said no to it. When, after the fall of Adam and Eve, we could not say no to it. I mean, we could try by following God's laws in the old covenant and by doing things to appease, you know, to ask God to forgive us until the time that that sin could be washed away. And that's all the priests, the old priesthood and the rituals. That's all the things they did to ask God not to bring the punishment on them. And we won't get into all of that. But nothing that man could do could take away sin and the guilt and condemnation that came with sin. Nothing. It was impossible. So every human being walked on this earth. Every human being walks on this earth with areas where they've been tempted and they failed and they've fallen into sin and they've made wrong decisions and they've made wrong mistakes, sometimes really major mistakes, sometimes mistakes that affected other people's lives. But every single person has given into sin. And every single person has the guilt and the weight and the heaviness and the burden of sin over their life. But Jesus Christ came and never gave in to sin, never had guilt, never had heaviness. No wonder when you look at him in the scriptures and you look at him in the gospels, he's leaping for joy. When you look at him, you can see what it's going to be like for us when we truly, truly give all of our guilt, all of our sin, we put it on the cross. And when you put the sin, everyone in here, I believe, has been mature enough to put their sin on the cross. God, forgive me for this sin. Lord, please take this from me. But because of the things that you used to handle guilt before the cross, or even after the cross, but you didn't understand this, you kept the guilt. You nailed the sin up there, but you walked around with the condemnation. You walked around still feeling bad about what you did.